You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We have been all over the madness of March all show long. Also, the madness of Shohei Ohtani right now. Plus, NFL rules changes that could potentially be coming down the pipe because they've been proposed by the competition committee. We've covered all of that so far. If you've missed anything here on Amber and Ian, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Of course, we will continue to keep you updated on all the live action happening in March Madness. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tomorrow night, James Madison, the 12th seed, will be taking on the 5th seed, Wisconsin Badgers, tomorrow, 9:40 p.m. tip-off. And earlier, we had an opportunity to catch up with James Madison head coach Mark Byington. Our first question to him was, Coach, how long ago does it feel like that Michigan State win happened?
It seems like forever. I mean, college basketball is a long season, and when you're in it, you definitely feel it, the ups, the downs. I didn't want that to be our best win of the year and best moment of the year. And that was our first game. So I was like, I don't want everything to go down from this point. But we won 14 straight to start, and we were in the top 25 for 8 weeks, and we won a bunch in a row here at the end. So I'm glad that wasn't our peak, and I think it's the best is still in front of us.
How were you able to keep the guys grounded after such a remarkable win?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want them to feel extra pressure. They had to, like, defend it and be a team that, I knew everybody was going to come after us, but I didn't want our guys to feel anything extra than what they had to do coming up. And really, you can say that as coach speak, they're going to feel it. They felt pressure. I felt pressure. And when you're in the top 25 and you've done all that, teams come after you. They're prepared for you. But what I think it did was we turned it in to say, hey, let's make sure we're better. We're sharper. We know this is what's going to happen on the other end. Let's make sure that we're doing the right things to keep getting better.
Mark Byington, head coach of the JMU Dukes, a 31-win team that I'm telling you folks, keep an eye on them, that they could make a run. He hates me saying it, but he's here with us on ESPN Radio getting you ready for the madness of March. And if you can, from a personal standpoint, this journey you all have been on, what's it been like for you personally?
Well, I mean, when we won the Sun Belt Championship, truthfully, the first reaction I had was relief. And, you know, when you have a team that you believe is good enough, and a championship team, that doesn't always mean at our level that means you're going to the NCAA tournament. A lot can happen. And so to go out throughout this season, I knew I had a team that was good. I loved coaching them. When we won the championship, it was a feeling of relief. And then, you know, a day or two later, kind of going on the journey, and I was like, all right, now it's time to have fun. Like, we've dealt with all that, and now the rewards, the NCAA tournament, and let's go. And we found our sights in Brooklyn. Let's go up to Brooklyn and have fun.
You know, and Coach, you mentioned that word relief, and it just struck a memory that I had, and it goes back years ago after Nick Saban, then head coach at Alabama, won his second national championship with the Crimson Tide. And when we were talking to him, I said, what was the first feeling you had? And he said, the same word you just used. He said relief. And it wasn't rejoice until a few days after. The immediate emotion was relief. Why is that? Where does that come from?
Well, I think there's so much pressure, and we put it on ourselves too. It's outside and it's inside. And for us to get to where we want to, we're a one-bid league, and we were in a situation. We won 30 games after our semifinal game, and if we didn't win that championship game, we were going to be in the NIT, and we would have been the first 30-win team to ever not make the NCAA tournament. I didn't want that, and I didn't. Our guys didn't want that, so we were on a mission in the championship game, and we stayed in the moment. But as coaches, I mean, you put so much into it. It's like anything in your life. You put so much into a relationship. You care about something so much. And when you invest in it, you really want it to work out, in a positive way. And so sometimes it's the heartache and getting knocked down to get you to the point at some point in your life. But that's why I think you see a lot of coaches react that way.
What is your most satisfying thing about coaching hoop right now, especially with this group?
Yeah, it's going on a journey from the beginning to the end. And you're going through difficult times and great times. And this has been a fun bunch. And the places we've seen this year with this team. So we went to Italy this summer, and we're a foreign trip, Rome, Florence, and making pasta and all kinds of stuff. And then we went to a tournament over Thanksgiving in Cancun and won that tournament. And so we've been some cool places, but I think what's helped is we've had a lot of time to spend together in outside basketball circumstances, time to relax, be tourists, enjoy things. And I think that bond's been great with me and them, and I think it's been great with them with each other.
Before we get into your draw against the Badgers and your squad, I want to give a lot of your players, especially those upperclassmen that I referenced earlier, a lot of love. But now I got to ask you, Italy and Cancun, are you more of an Italian guy when it comes to grub, food, let's get filthy fat, or are you more, Espanol, Hispanic, let's go get some tacos and chimichangas and attack?
Well, so if I'm in Italy, that food is incredible. It's absolute best. When I'm in America, I am a huge Mexican fan of food, and it's probably myself and my son, it's multiple times a week. So when we were in Cancun, we actually didn't eat a lot of the local food and all that at the resort. But when I was in Italy, it was unbelievable. The red wine, the pasta, you can eat pizza over there every single day and lose weight. It's just something different.
That didn't happen to me. And I live in Dallas. I'm with you. I'm spoiled. But I came back filthy.
Yeah, one pizza. You can't have multiple ones. One.
The best part is that nap they take over there, right? I mean, folks, they lock down for like 2 hours for lunch and go nap. I need that in my life.
They do some great things over there. It was a cool place for our team, for me.
That's awesome.
I always tell them it's great to see where basketball can take you.
No doubt about it. All right, Coach, let's get into your squad here in this matchup. Mark Byington, head coach of the JMU Dukes. They're going up against the Wisconsin Badgers, who ended up in the championship game losing in a hell of a game to the Fighting Illini of Illinois. As I mentioned, you got 8 guys that go at least 20 minutes per. That's a big number. And then 7 of those 8, if I'm not mistaken, are juniors and seniors. What does that mean to a coach, especially in this day and age, to have that upperclassman leadership and that many guys playing that many minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we're a deep team, and I feel comfortable going 9 deep with my roster and getting those guys in to be productive. But you mentioned, I think, one of the key things in college basketball right now is you better be old, and you better look at your roster, and you better have juniors, seniors, grad guys, that are significant players, because the game is physical. It is. It's no longer those 18, 19-year-old boys out there. If you look at the court, it's grown men out there. It's combative, and so we got to have bodies to match that. And if you look at our team, we match size well, strength well with about any team in the country, and that's why I think we've been successful this year with the maturity of them and it's the physical makeup.
How have you kept so many guys in this NIL portal era to have that many upperclassmen that are true leaders for you?
Well, some of them we brought in late and transfer on the other end.
Yeah.
And we matched what they wanted to do, whether it was, personally than as a team. And then we do have some unicorns in college right now. I got one guy coached for 4 years, and he's player of the year in the league, and Terrence Edwards. And
yep.
I have another guy, Julian Wooden, who's been here 5 years. He was actually here the year before I became the head coach, and he's been here. But if you listen to them, they talk about what a special place JMU is. They love it here. They're comfortable. They're happy. And then I think myself and my coaches, we try to make sure they know we care about them, care about their interests. And maybe they want to go somewhere else, but we want to make it hard on them. We want to make this a great place for them.
Edwards, Friedel, Wooden. I mean, go on down the list, man. You got some guys that care about the name on the front, not as much as the game on the back, which I think is also critical watching you guys play. Last one for you, Coach, and we appreciate your time here on ESPN Radio as the madness is finally here. How do you like your draw against Wisconsin?
you know, you're all excited, and then, you know, you're Wisconsin, you know, you're seeing where you're going and everything else, and then I was up last night watching film, and they're really damn good. A point guard is terrific. They got a kid, A.J. Storr, who's a dynamic wing. Seven-footer on the inside, Stephen Kroll. Great coach, great system. We got a lot of work to do between now and then, but, you know, our guys will compete. They're excited to play. We'll have a great week of practice, and we'll take our best shot.
You don't win 31 games in this day and age without being pretty damn good. And at JMU Dukes, they're pretty damn good. Can't wait to watch this matchup, Coach. Thank you so much for your time. And we'll talk to you maybe hopefully later this week or possibly early next week. Best of luck to your men. Travel safe.
I hope so. Thank you, Ian.
Guy's a beast. That team is good. They are really good. And that's one of those that you have on upset alert. And speaking of upset alert right now, the Kentucky Wildcats, Amber Wilson.
Whew.
67-65, Oakland leads right now, around 4 minutes to go in the game, and this is one of those where I thought Big Blue was going to kind of, you know, bow their chest out in the second half, yeah, and find a way after being down three at the half. You have to give Campy's boy, Greg Campy, head coach at Oakland, a hell of a lot of credit. His guys have absolutely taken everything Kentucky has and hit them right back and punched them in the mouth. This is a, again, you're going on BYU already going down to Duquesne. A remarkable story. Oakland now beating Kentucky. I mean, Iowa State is up now, what, 15 on South Dakota State. The Jackrabbits tried to make it a game at the half. It was 40-33. Now it's, Iowa State, the 2 seed, up on the 15-seeded Jackrabbits of South Dakota State by 15. And Gonzaga is just absolutely just beating the ever-loving snot out of McNeese. But the story right now in the moment is Oakland and Kentucky.
That one's wild to watch. I saw people predict Duquesne. There were people choosing Duquesne. There were people choosing Oregon. I have not seen anybody. I hadn't heard anybody take Oakland over Kentucky in the first round. But that is the madness. So, again, Oakland right now, 14th seed Oakland, leading 3rd seed Kentucky, 67-65, just about 4 minutes left there in that second quarter. We'll continue to keep you updated on all of the madness. Plus, plenty more to dive into across the world of sports here on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We've done a lot of March Madness on today's show and also gotten some of the stars of this tournament so far. We've heard from head coaches on Amber and Ian. We've also heard from players playing in these games. So I encourage you, if you've missed anything here on Amber and Ian, you're definitely going to want to go check out the podcast on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. This is the day of the year where no one pays attention to work because they're paying attention to the tournament. Ian Fitzsimmons is doing that right now.
I'm here with you. I got you. I've got you. I'm eye to eye with you, Amber. I promise you.
What are you watching? Kentucky and Oakland. Kentucky right now, still down.
We got 4 games going right. So I have 3 TVs going. So yeah, I mean, and a monitor, right? So I'm trying to multitask, which, you know, now that you've known me as long as you have, it's not a good thing. My wife knows that as well, and my kids. But yeah, right now,
can I break in here real quick before you give
yes,
this update? It's
please.
Important. We'll give it to you. But can I just tell you what's happening in my life? Because I only have one measly television in this office that I'm sitting in, just one. I know it's abysmal, but we have a man cave in my house that has a bunch of televisions, which is where my husband right now is parked. And he is apparently not just watching Madness, but he is watching soccer because my husband was a soccer player. He's a soccer nut, right? So I guess there's some big soccer game on. I don't know. So he's watching soccer and March Madness to the point, Ian, it has now knocked me off the Madness on my television because it tells me my streaming limit has been reached. I know it's because he's watching all of it upstairs. How unfair is that? I'm on ESPN Radio, man.
That's when you text your husband going, can I get one damn TV, please? Because I'm kind of working right now. I just
right.
want all you want to do is watch Oakland and Kentucky, which
yes.
Oakland as a 14 seed, the Golden Grizz are right now leading Kentucky 69-65, 3:46 to go in the game.
Woo!
Hello. And how bad am I on ESPN bet? I just bet McNeese State plus 25.
Wow.
Live bet.
It's
a loser. They're down 68-39 with 10 minutes to go in the game. But I figured, you know what? I just want to be entertained in that game by some form or fashion, right? So there you go.
Well, are you entertained yet? So we will keep you updated on all of the madness.
Maximus,
it has been
Decimus,
incredibly,
Meridius.
Incredibly entertaining thus far. But there was madness in Major League Baseball as well in a very different kind of way, where the Dodgers fired the longtime interpreter of Shohei Ohtani, who also is Shohei Ohtani's reportedly one of his very best friends and closest confidants. But this story got very weird because what we found out was this was in mid an investigation by the feds into an illegal gambling ring in Southern California. And apparently, the interpreter allegedly racked up a hefty million dollar debt.
Millions enough. Millions big enough.
Millions enough. Right. Millions already bad enough. The line of credit on $4.5 billion, nevertheless. All right, so $4.5 million in debt with this illegal bookie, and the feds got wind of this. The thing is, the debt was paid off, and it was paid off by Shohei Ohtani's bank account. There were a couple wire transfers that came directly from Shohei Ohtani's account and went to this illegal gambling bookie. Now, the interpreter originally told ESPN, Tisha Thompson was all over this story, and ESPN's investigative reporter had originally been told by Mizuhara, who's the interpreter or was the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, that it was just Ohtani paying off Mizuhara's gambling debts because Ohtani's such a good friend, and that Ohtani is the one who initiated the wire transfer from his own account, which it would stand to reason that's typically how things go. If you're going to wire money out of your bank account, you're normally the one to do it because you normally kind of have to be. Nevertheless, that story seems to have changed after Tisha Thompson's initial interview there with Mizuhara. And then we heard that there had been a theft. We heard this from Ohtani's lawyers, that there had been a massive theft of Shohei Ohtani, and the Dodgers promptly fired the interpreter on a day that we had watched the interpreter and Shohei Ohtani chop it up in a dugout and seem very friendly with one another if you did have knowledge that your best friend stole $4.5 million from you, allegedly.
Yeah, when you're talking about $4.5 million in gambling debt, you can't, and he says he never bet on baseball. I mean, if you're a gambling addict.
I bet on everything else, but not baseball.
Yeah, if you're a gambling addict and you're in that clubhouse and you're overhearing who's hurt, who's not, it's going to be very hard to convince me that you didn't wager on baseball. Now, Tisha Thompson, ESPN investigative reporter, was on with Greeny earlier today, and she detailed going in a timeline on Tuesday what Mizuhara told her about the wired money to for the gambling debts. Here's Tisha Thompson.
This is what Mizuhara said to me on Tuesday night before the game, that Ohtani had offered to pay his debts and that Mitsuhara explained to Ohtani how to wire the money. It was Ohtani who had logged into his computer and had sent the wire transfers at Mitsuhara's direction based on instructions Mitsuhara had been given to pay back the debt.
Okay. Then on Wednesday, Mitsuhara told her this.
I start making a lot of phone calls. Our people start making a lot of phone calls at ESPN. And of course, one of the people I call is Mitsuhara, who I say to him, did you lie to me last night? And he says, yes. And I said, did Ohtani know about your gambling debts? And he tells me through a series of questions that I ask him, no, Ohtani didn't know about the debts. And no, Ohtani did not pay them back. But Ohtani's name is on those bank wire transfers.
As an attorney, Amber, how do you view all of this?
Well, I mean, the reality is if somebody stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani's account and wired money out of his account without his knowledge for any reason, then you're talking grand theft. I mean, you're talking, right, a felony to the umpth degree, and it's going to be a big problem for whomever did that. And again, the feds are investigating this thing, so they will find out the truth behind it. It seems a little far-fetched that we got the one story and then we got a big cleanup, because the reality is the optics of having Shohei Ohtani pay off a gambling debt, even if it's not his own, which, of course, the internet has run wild with those rumors.
Oh, man.
That this dude's just the fall guy and that actually this is all Ohtani and that you have your best friend be the fall guy. Those rumors are everywhere and those rumors are going to be everywhere. But even if it's not that, even if it's just Ohtani helping his friend out, and wiring money, can't have Ohtani wiring money to an illegal bookie, right?
So, in his name on the account.
The MLB has a mess on its hands. And watching Rob Manfred navigate this is going to be wildly interesting, because this could, I mean, this could potentially be bigger. This makes Pete Rose, to me, mean like small potatoes.
Hell yes.
Where Rose is gambling on his own team to win games. Win games, by the way, is what he was doing. And we're talking about the next Babe Ruth of this sport, the biggest player in the entire sport, a generational, multi-generational talent.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
$4.5 million in gambling debt when the sport is this close to gambling. It's absolutely wild. Coming up next, Scott Drew, the Baylor head coach, is joining us to preview the team's matchup against Colgate. ESPN Radio is also on the ESPN app. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. It is madness, Ian, and boy is it madness right now. 4 seconds left right now in the second quarter. Oakland up on Kentucky 79-76. Woo. That is a 14 seed over a 3 seed, Ian. It's madness, man, this March.
This is remarkable. And Greg Campy, God bless him, and Oakland right now, they have possession. We'll see what happens. But we'll keep you updated on this game. We have a TV timeout, and we will continue to update you on Oakland and Kentucky. 79-76, Oakland has a lead and the ball with 3.9 seconds to go. She's Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. But right now we're joined by a man who won a national championship in 2021. They are a three seed. They're out west. He's gracious enough to join us right now here on ESPN Radio, and that is Scott Drew, head coach of the Baylor Bears. They've got Colgate coming up tomorrow, and the Red Raiders. Hey, look, man, that's a pretty good basketball team. But Coach Drew, it is madness right now. We're hearing it. You're knowing it. You've lived it. How we doing, Coach?
Well, I am doing great. It is March Madness, best month of the year. We're excited to be a part of it. Never gets old.
Man, what is this like for you, like this week as a head coach? What can you just put into words, like what this is like when you're on the eve of your first game?
Well, I can tell you it's tough sleeping this week because you just go to bed late. You wake up early. You're excited. You're anxious, like you're ready to play. You'd be a part of it. The games at night, it's a blessing always to be a part of. But it's until you play that first game, there's angst and anxiety. Like you just want to get there. You want to get going. You want to get started.
Does it matter who you're playing? Whether you're a 15 playing a 2, or you're the 2 seed playing the 15? Like right now, you're the 3 playing the 14. Does it matter which way it goes?
You can take those seeds, throw them out the window. It would be March if it wasn't for that, because it's madness, because people see a 15 and a 2 and a 16 and a 1, and they just assume that they should never lose. But really, we understand, all of us, the parity of sports. And especially neutral courts, 40-minute games, it's not the NBA. It's not the best of 7 where the best team wins. Anything can happen on any given night, so it's called March Madness for a reason. And this year, more than any year, what was it, 17 of the number one seeds didn't even make it to the conference championship games. Yeah. I mean, it's a great year if you like parity in college basketball.
Do you like parity in college basketball?
No, if we're the best team, I want no parity. If we're not the best team, then I want the parity. So I can tell you, in our league, in the Big 12, it was any given night, no score surprised you. And, I mean, each and every year you say that in the non-conference, I don't think you could go 2 or 3 nights in a row where there's not a so-called upset in the non-conference as well. And again, that's just what makes college basketball so special.
Scott Drew, head coach of the Baylor Bears. He won the national championship just a couple years ago in 2021, joining us here on ESPN Radio. His Baylor Bears are 3 seed going up against Colgate out on the West Coast, 1:40 Eastern time tip tomorrow, 10:40 Pacific. And Coach, you know, since games have already started, and you've been around this game, you came out of the womb in it, man. The son of the great Homer Drew, along with your brother. You know, how much do you actually like take time to kind of look at what else is going on besides your matchup? Do you even have time to do that?
Yeah, unfortunately, you get a glimpse here. Maybe we have Coach McCaslin at Texas Tech, Coach Tang at K-State in the NIT, Coach Mills when he was at Oral Roberts and in the tournament. Now he's at Wichita State. My brother in GCU. Like, if it's one of those games, I'm trying to watch it. If it's not, then it's a Big 12 team. I'm checking in on it, cheering for the Big 12. But you're so locked in on your team and making sure you're doing everything you can do to prepare your guys to put your best foot forward that you don't get a chance to really enjoy all the other games.
You mentioned the Big 12 and that gauntlet. I mean, and it was a gauntlet, folks. I'm based in Dallas, Texas. Coach, we've known you for a long, long time. This is about as deep as I've seen it in a while. This and the SEC, and that's why both those conferences have, you know, 8 teams, the highest of any conference. There's 2 trains of thought that you can go in coming out of the Big 12 that it has leathered you, calloused you, and prepared you for the tournament. There's another train that it wore you out. Which side are you on?
I'm on the first train. I like the first train. The second train we don't like as well, but that's what's great about the tournament. Whatever you think going in, you have your answer coming out. And some leagues you think are better off and they don't do well in the tournament. Other leagues surprise you. And it changes throughout the tournament as well. I mean, last year I think the Big 12 was 5-0 in the first day or something. And then by the time it got to Sweet 16 and Final Four, it wasn't as good. And that's where you can have a league where there's only 2 teams left, but both those teams make the Final Four, and it's a great year. So, I mean, you just really never know till it's all said and done and all over. I can tell you, as a head coach, you hope, you pray, you wish at the end of the year you're playing your best basketball and you have your whole team with you. that very seldomly happens. I mean, year we won it all, we were really blessed to be injury-free for most of that year and healthy at the end of the year, where the next year after that, we lost three players. This year, Langston Love's been banged up, and Langston will not play for the tournament. And next man up mentality, but obviously going into the season, if you can have a healthy team, you'd want that. That doesn't always happen.
How much did you learn, and have you, tweaked anything, changed anything, or are you kind of ride with it from when you won the national championship in 21? What did you learn about what it takes to win six straight?
Well, the first thing you learn is God's really got to bless you to have the team come together, not have this or that happen. One irreplaceable guy, because we all have different positions where we're a little thinner, wakes up with a 24-hour flu, and all of a sudden the whole game plan changes. You get in foul trouble, or you foul somebody out, and maybe you only played 7 minutes. The whole game plan changes. So there is no, you can call it a journey to a top of the mountain, but there's never a similar journey. And if you're able to make it all the way to the top, you've been blessed along that way. I look at our first Sweet 16 at Valpo, and we're playing Ole Miss, and everyone remembers my brother's shot. It's one of the best shots in NCAA basketball history. But if you look right before that, Ole Miss, who had the player of the year in the SEC, Ansu Cisse, misses two free throws. If he makes both free throws, the game's over. There is no shot. So you have to have a little luck. And, I mean, every year you can look, and there's probably one or two things here or there that broke your way. I mean, the year that we won it all, we had a great run in the tournament. But prior to the tournament, we were coming off of COVID, and we just lost it to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament. And I don't know if people, a lot of them jumped off the bandwagon at that time, because they're like, since COVID, this team isn't the same. And I know that sounds like a coaching cliche or a coach's talk, that you have to have things go your way and stuff. But there's a lot of things that, spiritually, I believe the good Lord has a great plan for us all, and I'm always hoping it's the Baylor Bears finishing on top.
Scott Drew, head coach of those Bears, here with us on ESPN Radio, getting you ready for the Friday, day two of the madness. He's got the Colgate Red Raiders on the horizon. How do you like this matchup, Coach? What do you see in them?
Well, I can tell you one thing that every coach in the tournament says, man, we got a tough draw. So if you're in this field, you're a very good team. You're well-coached. And you've had a heck of a year. So there is no easy draw. The one thing Colgate has is they have a lot of experience. They have eight guys that have played in this tournament. They have four of them that have played four. This will be their fourth NCAA tournament. So Colgate's been a great program. They have a wealth of experience because of that. Keeping guys around, helping them get better each and every year. We know we got a tough match in the first game, like everyone has.
We'll leave you with this one. Is there a favorite childhood memory you have growing up of just watching the NCAA tournament with your brother Bryce and your dad Homer?
Wow. I got too many of them. Maybe the Michael Jordan jumper would be one that kind of jumps out. But definitely when my brother hit that shot to beat Ole Miss, that moved to number one. And then winning it all was my favorite memory of all time.
Yeah, that wasn't growing up. That's an adult, man. Are you kidding me?
We always feel like if we're in this game, we've never really grown up. I mean, we're really blessed to be able to be involved in sports and do things that we love to do.
Hey, you know what? That's why we love you, man, because you're a big kid and you got a big heart. Best of luck to you, Ben. And look, come away healthy and just enjoy every single moment, Coach. Thank you so much for your time, as always, here on ESPN Radio. Give him hell.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Oh, man, it's always our pleasure. Scott Drew, head coach of the Baylor Bears, joining us here on ESPN Radio on Amber and Ian. And Amber, it has gone final. We have another upset. Day one. This truly is a bracket buster. Oakland takes down Kentucky 80-76. The Greg Campy's Golden Grizz are moving on. John Calipari and the Wildcats are going home.
just absolutely insane. I mean, it really, really is. There goes everyone's brackets, which is the lovely and beauty of March, right, Ian? That's what we want to see.
Hey, but we want to get rid of the auto bids.
Part of the experience.
Yeah, we want to get rid of the automatic bids, and you would not have this story, right?
It's so silly that anybody would. Listen, everybody else wants to expand. I mean, I don't. I don't want expansion.
No,
I think this
leave it alone.
Perfect. But the reality is, people ain't talking about expanding, Ian, unless they're considering expanding this thing. So that's way more likely to happen, in my opinion, than getting rid of these auto bids. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, has sports betting gone too far? We will hear from an NBA coach that seems to think so. Plus, a 24-2 run seen across the country. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's been mad. It's been madness so far here in March. We are only in the midst of the first round. It is early, Ian, in this thing. Doesn't matter. The madness starts right out of the gate in this thing. Kentucky.
They gone.
Matt Jones.
Oh my God.
I was
listening
to Matt. So Matt and Myron did a Sunday selection special here on ESPN Radio, right? On Sunday, and I was driving back from North Carolina. I listened to every single minute of Matt Jones and Myron Metcalf. I'm their number one fan. I listened to every single minute. And the way that Matt talks about Kentucky, I believed him for a moment. I thought, you know what? He knows things that I don't know.
Amber, listen to me. Amber, look, man, I know we don't have Darren Fox, but let me tell you, we're deep now. We're deep. And look, I mean, we don't need Socrates in here to try and tell you that. Look, hey, we can play on both ends. I know we don't play great defense, but let me tell you something now. We can score.
They were going to be just fine. Just fine.
How was my Matt Jones impression?
By Oakland, a 14 seed.
First of all, how was my Matt Jones impression?
Well done.
Thank you, Matt Lack.
A plus. That was a 10 out of 10 on every scale.
Look, I can't tell you how this happened. When the number came out and I saw it was 13.5, I was shocked. And then, my gosh. This is the beauty of the madness, right? Where
it
Oakland
is.
And Greg Campy and the boys can come in and beat Kentucky. God bless you. And when the Dayton Flyers can come back down big, and I say big, 58-39 with 7 minutes to go in the game, and they come back and win, that is the beauty of this tournament.
The Dayton Flyers went on a 24-4 run to erase a 17-point deficit to beat 10th-seeded Nevada, 63-60. That was behind the efforts of our next guest, Daron Holmes II, the Dayton forward, kind enough to join us. And Daron, tell me about the psyche in this one, because you guys are down 17. How do you kind of not just give up?
Honestly, you know, we just all stuck together, you know, and that's what we were talking about in the second half in the locker room. When we went in for halftime, we were all talking about, hey, let's just stay together. You know, we never had a doubt in our mind, and we went out there and executed. So,
dude, look, you just heard me reference 7:19 to go. It's 58-39. You guys are losing to Nevada, and you outscore them 24-2 to finish the game and win it. What was said? What happened?
Honestly, we were just saying, hey, we got to stay resilient. We've been in these situations before, So what's different now? You know, we couldn't let the moment get too big in our heads, and we went out there and we trusted each other and we all bought in. And like you just said, we went on a very good run and it all went our way.
Coach, hang on a minute. You said we've been in this situation before. When have you been in a situation where you were down 58-39 in the NCAA tournament with 7:19 to go to come back and outscore an opponent 24-2? That's amazing.
Well, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, well, maybe not the NCAA tournament, but right. Like in games before, we've been in situations where adversity has hit us, and we had to find out a way to come back. Like in Charleston, we were down against LSU, and we had to find a way to come back, and our team did a very good job of sticking together, and, you know, it prepared us for times like this.
It did.
Dayton Flyer Daron Holmes the second, kind enough to join us here on Amber and Ian. So you put up 18, Daron, yourself. So let's talk about your individual performance. How much pressure did you feel in this one? Did you feel when you guys were down like you kind of needed to put this team on your back?
You know, my job was to just go out there and help make winning plays, you know. So I was just focused on what can I do to help the team win. And, you know, the teammates trusted me, gave me the ball in certain areas of the floor, and I wanted to capitalize, you know. And my other teammates also stepped up as well, you know. I can't really even name everybody, but, you know, like, that's just what it's all about.
Hey, when it comes to a comeback like this, do you look at it as a team or an individual and go, all right, if we can cut it to 15 – and then if we can get it to 10, and then get it to 5, was that ever in your mind? Like, let's just take implemental goals here, and if we can get it down to here, to here, to here, then we got a shot.
You know, the way we were looking at it was just, hey, one step at a time. You know, we were focused possession by possession. What do we need to do in this moment right now? We stuck with where our feet were, and we looked at it like, all right, this is what we need to do on offense, and this is what we need to do on defense, and they're all played out in our favor.
It really did.
Dayton's Daron Holmes joining us here. So you're seeing Arizona next. Do you think that being battle-tested now, do you think maybe this experience from the first round, being down by 17, having to come all the way back against a 10th seed, is that going to help you moving forward?
Yeah, it can only help us, you know. So regardless of what happens next game, we hope we don't get in that situation. But if we do, you know, it's not the end of the world. We're going to fight. You know, we're going to hustle. We're going to do everything we can to make sure we can get the win. You know, Arizona's a great team, so we're going to look at scouting. We're going to be ready to prepare for them.
What was said in the locker room after this remarkable comeback? Again, folks, if you're just tuning in, the Dayton Flyers were down 58-39 with 7:19 to go in the game, and they outscored Nevada 24-2 to win 63-60. What was said after the game?
You know, honestly, we just all talked about how at halftime we're proud of each other for staying resilient, sticking together, and being battle-tested and getting through adversity, you know. So that's what we were talking about, how proud we were of each other. You know, that's what we were saying at the end of the game. And we were just all smiles, everybody in the whole locker room, even coach. Everybody was happy, you know, and that's what these moments are all about.
How good are you going to sleep? I'm sorry, Amber. How good are you going to sleep tonight? Because, dude, you sound exhausted.
Oh, yeah. This altitude is getting me up here, so I'm going to sleep pretty well over here, you know. But I'm getting more adjusted, and I think I'll be good by next game. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to get a lot of good sleep.
Goodness, 18 with the altitude bothering you. Watch out, Arizona. Goodness. Daron, I will say this, too. I know you have a ton of basketball left in you. You're very young. One day, if you ever feel like going into coaching, you already got all the coach speak down. You're excellent at that, saying all the right things. We wish your team the best moving forward here. We'll be watching the Dayton Flyers. Daron Holmes the second, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. You guys have a great one.
You too.
Hell, young man said all the, he said, I mean, that he sounded straight up like he was already ready to get out there. He sounded like a coach. You even called
so
him.
So he had a challenge. I'm like, dude, hold on a minute. You've done this before? Wait, when? Wait, what?
Yeah, I know. Look, the junior, he's ready, man. He is ready, that guy.
Again, 24-2 run to close it out. That is, I don't know if I can remember ever seeing something like that in the NCAA tournament. I really don't.
I'm proud of you for not mentioning to Daron how much money you lost because of
55
him.
Bucks.
Thanks, man.
I'm proud of you for not doing that thing, you know, yeah. Like, thanks for that, buddy.
No, hell no. Are you kidding me? That was money well spent just to watch the comeback. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, buying a ticket to the game.
history being made already.
Matlack, on the other hand, not so much.
Yeah, it's an investment for the show.
There you go. An investment. You know what? That's a good way.
You're welcome,
maybe
Mickey.
Maybe you can write it off, Matlack.
Hey, come on, Samford, and come on, Texas
content.
Tech. Come on, Samford, come on, Texas Tech. Here we go.
Yep.
Let's go now.
Coming up next, more madness. Game Night will take you through it here on ESPN Radio.